It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Just well, hello on this beautiful day, and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I thank everyone for listening today. Darlene has a day off today. Actually, her and Wendy are out on the West Coast visiting Metagenics lab and clinic out there, so I'm sure they have a wonderful time learning lots of new things to share with all of you when they come back. So today, sure that everybody is going to learn something new. I hope every week you do, and just things that you can incorporate into your life, or maybe the life of someone you know, to make some positive changes in really how you or they feel. And today our topic is asthma, which is something that most people have heard of and probably know someone who deals with. But what I think a lot of people do not realize is that the effect that diet and nutrition have on controlling and really preventing asthma or asthma symptoms. And, you know, we have worked with countless people of all ages. It's not just something that kids have. Adults can have asthma as well. And just helping them greatly reduce or even alleviate their asthma symptoms. I know Mary, who we've had on the show before, her daughter was able to go off all of her medications by including good nutrition. So we're going to talk about some of those things, some key nutrients. And I'm not alone today. I have Cassie Wienus with me. She is a registered dietitian and one of our nutritional counselors and nutrition educators. And she also has a lot of great experience, a lot of knowledge. I know she's excited today. I know she has a little task she has to do before she jumps in the show.
Yes, as always, I need to give a shout out to my number one fan back home. So to my favorite boy, Riley. Riley, Mama loves you. I'll see you tonight when you get home from Lauren and Ellie's party. Now, if I could just get him as excited about eating his vegetables right. as he is about hearing his mama on the radio.
It's a process.
It is, yes. But yeah, back to the topic. I am excited about today's topic. I know there are a lot of people out there who struggle with asthma, and I think a lot of people with asthma haven't been given the right tools to really get control of it without having to use a number of different over-the-counter or prescription medications.
Right. I definitely agree. And, you know, sometimes people need to have some of those things, but our goal is usually to really help reduce those or even eliminate in some cases. Now, I think a lot of people think they know all about asthma, and this may seem silly, but I think we really need to describe it so people understand what is really going on when someone has asthma. And I think by doing this, then maybe people can make some more sense of the nutritional connection. So maybe, Cassie, you can describe to people what asthma really is and what's going on.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. When we understand the whys, it's easier to make mm-hmm. the changes in our diet. Well, when we look at asthma, it's a chronic disease. It affects your airways. And by airways, I just mean those tubes that carry air in and out of your lungs. Now, if you have asthma, the inside walls of those airways are inflamed or swollen. And that inflammation makes the airways really sensitive, and they tend to react strongly to things that you're allergic to or that your body finds irritating. And when these airways react, they get narrower or they constrict, and so less air flows through to your lung tissue. And this is when you get the symptoms that those of you with asthma know all too well. You get that wheezing, that whistling sound when you breathe. There's a lot of coughing. There's tightness in the chest. Trouble breathing, and usually these symptoms are especially bad at night and in the early morning.
So, you know, a lot of times they say that asthma can't necessarily be cured, and people who have it are always going to have to be intentional about what they're doing to help prevent it or control symptoms. But most people with asthma can control it and have very few and infrequent symptoms and live out active lives. And that's what we really want to focus in on and give people some tools that maybe might be new ways of thinking as to how you deal with asthma. You know, a couple things stand out to me in what Cassie described is that asthma is a form of inflammation. And I know we've talked a lot about inflammation on the show, so we're going to focus on that today. And that due to this inflammation, the airways are very sensitive to triggers. So what are those triggers? We're going to talk about those things that are going to trigger that inflammation and those symptoms.
Exactly. So as Christina said, we're going to identify how that nutrition affects your inflammation, because certainly there are foods that will increase that inflammation and make your asthma symptoms worse. But the good news is there are a lot of foods that will decrease that inflammation and help you to try to alleviate those symptoms. And then, yeah, like Christina said, take a look at what are the triggers for every person. It could be different, but it's just stepping back and connecting those dots and realizing for yourself what your nutritional triggers are.
Right. So we're going to kind of go through some different things. And usually when we're working with people, there's things that we address first. And if those things, you know, aren't working, there might be things we add. Or some people, they sit down, we know, okay, we need to change a lot of things. But the first thing that we look at for people who have asthma is, let's get out that processed carbohydrates and the sugar in your diet. And why do we do that, Cassie?
Because those are so pro-inflammatory. That's what creates the inflammation. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I did a show with Dar on joint pain. And so same thing, because inflammation inflames your, or because inflammation makes your joint pain worse, or basically is the cause of it. That's what we do with those people too, is to eliminate the processed carbs and sugar. And the same thing with asthma, because we're trying to reduce that inflammation. What are processed carbs? I think we should look at that, because I think in today's world, because we are such a society of man-made foods, many times, and you'd probably agree, the clients we see, they don't always have a clear-cut idea of what is man-made versus what is processed. So,
right. And I think too, a lot of times people think certain foods are okay because they don't have diabetes, or,
yeah,
you know, they're not gaining,
yeah,
weight. But if you have asthma, you have inflammation, and those things need to be out of your diet. So for kids, you know, what would be some examples? Fruit snacks, you know, and even the ones made with juice. By the time you eat that little bag, that's a lot of sugar. And for someone with asthma, that's going to, could be a problem.
Yep.
You know, a lot of cold cereals, the instant oatmeals, things like that, that oftentimes kids or adults too are eating multiple times throughout the day as snacks, breakfast, before bed, things like that. Other ideas, Cassie, that you see?
Yogurts. I get so upset, because so many moms, just in talking with me, you know, they think they have to ask nutrition questions, I guess, and they'll think they're doing a good thing with the yogurts. But I tell you, you're going to be hard pressed to find a good yogurt unless you're shopping organic, because they're so full of sugars and chemicals, and that is a source of inflammation. So definitely, you know, to look for a really good organic yogurt would be a better choice. Just think of the candy that these kids are eating. My daycare lady was just telling me about how she was at the zoo the other day, and she could not believe the amount of candy that was being bought for these kids coming through.
Right.
You kind of mentioned the juice. So whether it's in the fruit snacks or whether you're drinking it, I know at our house we limit the amount of juice, but we also dilute it.
Sure.
So that I'm never giving Riley full strength juice. Pop, certainly. Pop-Tarts. Oh,
yes.
Stab my heart. Pop-Tarts not only have the sugar, the processed carbs, but they have the trans fats in them.
Right. So there's a lot of ways that kids especially, and I think a lot of times, unfortunately, it's like, and I understand, it's like life can be stressful. You're busy. You're trying to get things done. The kids are kind of acting up. So it's like, here, just have this.
Yeah.
You know, but I think just understanding what it's really doing to a child, if they are having a lot of problems breathing and having this asthma, every time they eat that, it's going to be a problem. So don't even have it in your house.
Right.
And start, and we'll talk about some ideas.
Right.
And there was a study done with over 2,000 fifth graders, which that's a lot.
That's a lot.
And one of the key things that came out that had a positive correlation with asthma was sweetened beverages.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's instant sugar in the body. And maybe if your child has asthma, maybe juice is something they shouldn't even be having. Just water,
right.
Maybe milk. My kids actually love tea. We make iced tea a lot in the summer, and they'll
unsweetened.
Drink it. Yes.
Unsweetened,
exactly.
Iced tea. Yep. Yeah, you know, and there's a couple of different things going on with those fruit juices or any of those high sugar foods. They're a trigger for inflammation, but also they suppress our immune system.
Right.
And without a healthy immune system, we can't alleviate the inflammation either.
Right. And adults, you know, some other things too. I think something that gets in trouble is those coffee drinks.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Because they have lots of sugar. And then there's the sugar-free ones, but those ones aren't quite as good either. The bagels, again, breakfast bars on the way out the house, a lot of the granola bars, chips, pasta. And, you know, Jamba Juice has a lot of sugar in it as well. And I know that's a pretty trendy thing for a lot of people to have.
Yep. Popcorn. I know I have a lot of clients come through that think popcorn is a healthy snack. They think they're doing something good, but you tend to overdo it on the popcorn. And then with nice weather coming, you know there's going to be a lot more people sitting out at the patio, at the restaurants, and too many beers or margaritas is going right. to induce the asthma too.
Right. And something I know we talk about a lot is that for every 4 grams of carbs, it turns into 1 teaspoon of sugar in the body. And something I suggest people to do, and maybe adults need to do this, but especially with kids too. I think with kids, it's so important to help them understand why they have to make changes. And a child with asthma doesn't enjoy asthma attacks. So pull out maybe some of those favorite processed carb snacks and measure, have them measure out the sugar and say, see, this is what's going in. And that's why you're having this wheezing or these attacks where you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And then to find some other things that are, still taste good. I mean, we don't right. want to just take food. Food should still be fun.
Yes. So what are things that we should eat to get? We still need to eat carbohydrates, but right. we need to have good ones that aren't processed and turned to sugar so fast.
I hear Dar's voice in my head saying, vegetables, vegetables, right. vegetables.
And the thing is, and as I was doing some preparation for this show, just reiterating how important vitamins and antioxidants are for our immune system, and especially in asthma, to help the body combat those triggers that come in that will trigger the symptoms. So if you're not eating vegetables and fruits, you're not getting those antioxidants, the vitamin C, the vitamin E, to really help reduce that inflammation in mm-hmm. the body.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, I'm just thinking of Riley, and we were better with vegetables when he was younger, and he's only 2.5 now, but he's getting to be a stinker. Maybe we're just going through a stage. But
yeah.
if you can, you know, what the heck, put some cheese on top, some good right. real cheese, mm-hmm. and melt it. I've pureed them before, and you can hide them in a variety of different
yes.
foods if you puree the vegetables.
Soups and sauces, especially.
Yeah, yeah. And with fruits, I mean, usually it's easier to get kids to like fruits, but sometimes that can be a struggle, too. So make that fun. Kids love to dip things. So
yes.
I know with Riley, if I cut up the apple and I put some good real peanut butter, he loves to be able to dip it, and then
yep.
he'll eat it. So
same with vegetables. There's some good brands of salad dressings out there, even like the Drew's brand or Paul Newman's Ranch is okay, I think, for dipping vegetables in.
Yep.
And my son, too, will be 2 in a week and a half, and he loves to dip.
To dip,
so,
yeah. That cute.
Yeah, so we actually have to take a break. And some of those ideas maybe need to be used for adults, too, because sometimes adults
exactly.
don't like to eat their vegetables.
Yep.
And when we come back, we'll start talking about a couple other things, too, to do for asthma. But here's some information for you. In the United States, about 20 million people have been diagnosed with asthma. Nearly 9 million of them are children, but also 2.6 million Americans over the age of 65 has asthma. So it's all ages. And asthma is closely linked to allergies. Most, but not all, people with asthma do have allergies, and children with a family history of allergy and asthma are more likely to have asthma. So although asthma affects people of all ages, it most often does start in childhood, and a lot more common in boys than girls until they get to be adults, when more women tend to have it. So stay tuned to hear more ways that you can address both allergies and asthma with real nutrition. And please, if you have questions, feel free to give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian and nutrition counselor. I'm here today with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. Today, if you're just joining us, we're talking about asthma and how what we eat can affect this growing health condition. And a study that we want to share with you, it just came out this month in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. It's linking obesity with asthma. What they found was that both obesity and asthma are linked to very similar causes, including genetics, so there is some predisposition there, but also linked to prenatal exposure to certain nutrients, to overall maternal nutrition, so what the mom is eating really matters, to birth weight, to infant weight gain, and also to sedentary behavior. Isn't it amazing how much of this goes back to what we're eating?
Right, and I think this totally ties into what we were talking about before the break, because a lot of that weight gain and obesity is related to blood sugar and insulin levels. So if people are eating mm-hmm. a lot of those processed carbohydrates, it's leading to obesity, but also it's a problem for asthma as well because of that inflammatory aspect of it.
Yeah, wow.
So eat your vegetables, make your kids try it, make yourself try them over and over if you don't like them.
Yeah,
try them
again too.
Yeah, the summer's a great time to do, I mean, the vegetables are fresh. You can go to the farmer's mm-hmm. market and they taste good. And one of my favorite things to do is I'll buy, and I kind of mentioned for dipping, but like a healthy salad dressing or marinade that uses some good oils, like cold pressed oils, or you can make your own if you like to too. And I'll just cut up a bunch of different vegetables, like beans and pea pods. Zucchini tastes really good this way. Mm. Asparagus, peppers. Just let them marinate anywhere from 10 minutes to a couple hours. Depends on my schedule for that day. And then throw them on the grill. You know, use a grill basket or one of those grates that you can put things on the grill, and they taste great.
Yes.
And my husband will tend to eat more of them when I do it that way than when just straight up vegetables.
And we talked a lot about kids, but we can't forget about husbands,
right,
too, because we want them to stay healthy.
Exactly. So, Cassie, what's one of the next key things that we look at as far as food and asthma?
Yep. Well, after, you know, when we're seeing clients, after we talk about those processed carbohydrates, those high sugar foods, the next thing is eliminating the trans fats and the processed fats, because these really turn on the inflammation.
They do. I mean, and that sometimes I think is a great way to look at it. And when you have anytime, you know, we don't want to have a lot of inflammation, but when you are prone to a more inflammatory health condition, you do not want to be putting things in that are turning on inflammation.
Yes.
And go ahead.
I was just thinking of, and I apologize for those that heard me bring it up last time, but when I was on the show with Dar and talking about joint health, I mentioned my mom, who was recently on a trip to Europe for 11 days, and she has bad pain from her osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And poor mom. She takes Tylenol every day for it. And I try to, you know, clue her in. But anyway, so she still takes Tylenol every day. While she was in Europe, she didn't have to take a pill.
Wow.
So I'm like, Mom, really, why do you think that was? What were you not eating? You know, and she does. She thinks she eats pretty healthy. But there's a lot of processed. It's hard to get away from the processed fats, especially when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. It's something we have to be very intentional with. And on the flip side of that is including the good ones, you know.
Yes.
And I think
and
that's the fear.
What those are. Yes.
So as far as the processed ones, again, and I know we talk about this, but it's so important, you know, looking for hydrogenated oils in the ingredient list. But understanding that most of the time, if you are buying a lot of packaged foods, you maybe aren't always getting hydrogenated oils, but still a lot of processed fats.
Yep. Or what we call damaged fats,
right,
or damaged oils. And they're almost as bad as those trans fats.
Yep. Yep. Or, you know, using a lot of the vegetable oils and even the canola oils that aren't made naturally really aren't that good,
for you. No.
So what are a couple food things, key things that we know people eat a lot or add to things that they drink maybe?
Oh, you're talking about
coffee?
Coffee Mate.
Yes.
Coffee creamer. Or
yes,
getting my sister-in-law, and I can say this because she's out of range for the show, loves to stop and get a cappuccino. Now, a cappuccino to me is at Starbucks, and it's the frothed and the steamed milk. Back home, North Dakota, a cappuccino to her is the gas station stuff, which a lot of people drink, that is filled with hydrogenated fats and processed fats. So,
and all those International Delight, Coffee Mate things are going to have that. So again, it's turning on inflammation, and it can turn on inflammation in your lungs and make those airways smaller. You know, when you're thinking about kids, even teething biscuits, a lot of the Teddy Grahams, different crackers, things like that, some cereals.
You know, pretty much any cracker, because I've been through the aisles because I'm on a food budget. But unless you shop in that natural section and look for cold pressed or expeller pressed oils, mm-hmm, most any cracker in the middle aisles of the grocery mm-hmm store have the damaged fats.
Right. And that's a good thing to know when you're looking, and you can find it on foods like the good mayonnaise that we talk about, that Hain, it uses mm-hmm an expeller pressed safflower oil. Some of those salad dressings you can look for, the cold pressed or expeller pressed. Or when you're buying olive oils, sesame oils, things like that, to make sure they're cold pressed. But also eat good fats. Make your salads taste good with avocados and olives. You know, have nuts around to snack on. And even kids, once they can chew, my son, he loves to have nuts as snacks.
Yep,
you know.
Yep. Or Marissa, 8 months old, I mix up the avocados with bananas, mm-hmm, and she eats it like candy.
Yep, so finding the ones you like. Another really good fat that we've talked about before is coconut oil. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at something that affects your immune system, like asthma often has that immune connection, coconut oil, coconut milk can be very good because it's naturally antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So don't be afraid of the fats. Again, those good fats, think of them like really being soothing to your lungs and really reducing that inflammation, reducing that irritation, because fats get in and repair and heal damage.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So it's not just about, as nutritionists, we're not just about taking things away. We're about including the good tasting foods too.
Yes.
So healthy fats are key.
And most people, I would say, you know, some people leave a little nervous about the fast, but I would say most people leave and are pretty excited. I've had people tell me, I feel liberated that you let me be able to eat this food. And
eat
it's real
butter.
Food.
Yeah, yeah. And feel good about it and eat the heavy whipping cream. But
So why don't we take a little turn into looking at some other links to asthma, and a huge area that I think a lot of people don't make that connection with is your digestive system. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research out there linking a poor, compromised digestive system. And I think in another study that we'll bring up too, it talks about that's a key factor for people developing asthma and allergies.
Well, and if you step back and think about it, I don't know if we mentioned it earlier today, but I know we've talked about it on previous shows, about 70% of our immune cells reside in our intestines. Mm-hmm. So by maximizing the health of our intestines, we're giving our immune system a huge boost, and this helps to calm that inflammation.
Right. Yeah, realizing how key, and it's a big area of your body. It's 26 feet in an adult body.
In the average person, right,
so
right.
We need to keep it healthy. And this is something Cassie and I were talking before the show. You know, it is really common to develop asthma and allergies as a child, but a lot of times when we see adults developing them as an adult, there is usually a definite connection to their digestive system. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, okay, you know, we need to take a look at what's causing this and how we can replenish. So what are some common causes of a compromised intestinal tract?
Oh, they're the American society,
wouldn't
you say? taking antibiotics.
Right.
You know, and it would be unrealistic to think we can get through this life without taking an antibiotic, but we need to know how to replenish that good bacteria once we've wiped it out. So antibiotics, you know, and even if you haven't been on an antibiotic in a long time, the meats that we eat, unless we're buying organic, have antibiotic residues.
Right.
Anti-inflammatory drugs, another huge one that can wipe out that digestive health. A lot of stress in our life can do it.
Right.
Do any others come to the top of your mind?
I think for sometimes women, if they've used a lot of different hormone therapies, that can be a
birth
piece.
Birth control pills for a long period of time.
Yep. Or, you know, those teenagers. And I know they use less antibiotics or try to now for acne, but still. Or I see people who are adults and they say, oh, that was years ago. But that can play a part. It sets the stage for developing more problems later on in life. And there's an interesting study, Dr. Nigel Plummer, I know we've talked about him before, and he's done a lot of research on intestinal health. And one of the key things he's looked at is allergies and asthma. And he's found that for children whose mother has allergies and that child was given antibiotics before they're 2 years old, so those two factors together gives a child a 54% chance of developing allergies versus only a 32% chance if their mom had allergies.
And they had no antibiotics.
Right. So having those antibiotics before they're two, and sometimes, yes, it's a necessity, but then we need, and it's totally safe for right out of the mother's womb to get some good bacteria in there.
Yep, my little girl's been getting them, you know, since day one in her bottles, the good bacteria. So certainly safe. And really, it's just something that we've gotten away from over the years, introducing that good bacteria. We'll talk about that more when we come back from the break.
Yes, we need to take a break. So, you know, during the last 50 years, there has been a 40-fold rise in allergic asthma in the developed world. And in the same period, there has been no significant rise in the developing world. So as we mentioned, the American society, 1 in 7 children born in the developed world will now develop allergic asthma. And as of a study published in 2000, I think this is amazing, they really believe that environmental pollution was not a cause of this allergic asthma. So again, if you have questions, feel free to call us at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian and nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. If you're just joining us, we're talking about asthma. Before we delve back into our topic, I do want to make an announcement about our signature series, the Weight and Wellness series. If you're looking for even more answers on your asthma and allergy, or just how to obtain good health overall and more energy, the Weight and Wellness series is a great class to sign up for. It's a 6-week long series. We offer both day and evening classes, and we're beginning a new series this week starting June 2nd at 4 locations around the Twin Cities, including Maple Grove, and then at each of our 3 offices, which are St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. So we do still have some spots open. So if you want to register, you can call today at 651-699-3438 to register, or you can visit our website at www.weightandwellness.com for more information. And again, if you have any questions on today's topic, you can call us at the studio at 651-641-1071. And it looks like somebody did dial that number.
Right. And maybe before we get to Janelle, if you don't mind waiting another minute here, let's just quick, we left people maybe hanging, I don't know, about how to replenish that good bacteria. We were talking about how much of a connection that digestive system has to asthma and allergies and, you know, a lot of things like antibiotics, poor eating habits, stress, anti-inflammatories can really reduce good bacteria. So there are a lot of things that you can do to really help replenish. And Cassie, maybe you can continue what you were going to say there.
Right. You know, years ago, people made their own sauerkraut that has good bacteria when it's homemade. People made their own yogurt more than they do these days. And that's a good source of getting good bacteria back in. But if we don't want to take all those steps, there are some great supplements. And I know that's what I give my kids. We have both powder and pill form. And so, for example, for kids, powder form is great. I put some in Marissa's bottle with Riley. I actually sprinkle it in his yogurt. And I buy a good plain organic yogurt, which is another great way.
Right.
Because you don't want that added sugar that works to kill off the good bacteria. So, yeah, you could call our office if you wanted some good brand names of those supplemental forms of probiotics. And bifidobacteria is the one we usually start with when we're trying to restore that digestive health.
Right. It's a really key one. And that's supposed to be in breast milk. So, and, you know, sometimes it's not enough in breast milk for some children. So even it's still good to supplement with that sometimes for babies. Adults, we use it a lot. A key first step. And then sometimes acidophilus is necessary as well. So, and, you know, I really look at that as really helping us get back to that balance. And some people need to do it for a while. And then if they are eating well and eating foods that have good bacteria, they're fine.
Right.
Or if that's something, if you have to go on antibiotics, I always have people take it during and after for like a month or two. And then you're not prone to have to go back on or get the yeast infections and things like that.
Right.
Also for children as well. So it looks like we've got Janelle on the line. Hi, Janelle. Thanks for calling. Hi, Janelle.
Hi.
Did you have a question for us today?
Yeah. My 2-year-old eats like chicken nuggets and corn dogs, and that's what she's gotten used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to get her to eat like vegetables and like more healthy things, and I can't get her. She won't even eat corn.
Okay. Yeah, it's tough with kids now. Is she someone who seems to have any digestive issues, or has she been on some antibiotics or anything?
She was really sick. Like, she has asthma, and she was kind of always sick as a baby.
Okay. So I find a lot that for picky eaters that there is a strong link to their digestive system. So now the food is important, but at the same time, like we've been talking about, I would definitely add some good bacteria, some bifidobacteria, because she's probably lost some from just being sick. But then, you know, with kids, it's starting to just only give them some of the healthy things. And sometimes it's hard. I understand my son has gone through some phases, but in trying to get creative, I know at our office we do have some recipes on how to make chicken nuggets a little healthier.
Yep.
If there's certain sauces she likes, if you can use a healthy version and hide things in there, that's good. And it can take 10 to 12 times for a child to try a vegetable before they're going to like it. So that means
I can't even get her to like try it.
Yeah.
And I made corn on the cob the other day and I cut it off the cob for her and I'm like, it's yummy. And she wouldn't even taste it. She wouldn't even touch it. Didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. So, and maybe it's starting with some good meats. Cassie, do you have something?
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's so hard and every child is so different. I was just thinking of Riley and how he's 2.5 and he's kind of going through a stage right now where he's showing his independence and saying no to some of the vegetables. But you really have to use your mom voice and say, you know, sometimes it's just, okay, Riley, let's count to 4. It's 4 bites of the vegetable and then a small treat. You know, afterwards and just slowly get them back into that.
Right. Or sometimes I know what works is coming up with behavior like charts almost. And if they take so many bites, they get a sticker. And at the end of the week, if they do it, then they get a special and maybe not even always food surprises. If it's a, you know, a toy or some stickers or going out to the park, things like that.
So it's hard. There is no easy way, especially when they've started to get accustomed to some of these junky foods because they're very addicting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So don't give up.
Yeah, just keep doing your best. And I would look into working on her digestive system as well.
And one more thing before you go, I would look on our website at the protein smoothie recipe,
yes,
because we were just talking about that. Kids love that. It's a treat. You can call it a shake. And it's got a good source of good bacteria in it because it has organic yogurt.
Yep. So,
okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
great question.
You, bye.
Bye. Okay, it looks like do we have another caller on the line? Yep. Yes, Carol. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I would like for you to weigh in on my grocer said that the people come in and buy that DanActive by the case or the other, you know, that Activia.
Right.
And then my daughter said, oh, Mom, I thought I got positive. I'm trying to figure out what triggers some things, and uh-huh, I found it somewhat helpful.
Sure.
But my daughter said, oh, no, it's got way too much sugar in it.
Right. It's going to be, some of those are a step up from ones that don't put the good bacteria in it. But again, I encourage people, when you pick that stuff up, read the ingredients. Like a few months ago, I, again, just picked up the Activia and read through the ingredients and wasn't too pleased with, yeah, the corn syrup and some other additives and things like that. And it's usually not too difficult to find, even like Stonyfield Farms, which I don't think is the best brand, even of the organics, but it's better.
Okay.
And the full fat plain tastes pretty good when you put fruit and nuts in there.
And this Dicinol, I mean, why do you start out with that? I didn't quite get it.
That's the one we should have the most of in our digestive system.
And
so,
where does that come in?
Well, it's in the more organic yogurts. You can get it in good sauerkraut. Otherwise,
so we could be totally lacking that.
Yeah. Or be very deficient.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling. All right. Good questions. Yeah, that whole yogurt thing can be challenging.
It's deceiving. And I always say you might as well just buy a candy bar if you're just going to pick up the Yoplait Light or, you know, many of those that are in the regular section of the grocery store, which is sad, but they've added a lot of junk. Just read the ingredients.
Yep. Yeah. I one time printed out the ingredients of Yoplait yogurt and brought it up front to the people who work at the front desk, and I didn't tell them what it was, and they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So it's
interesting. Because you can't even pronounce the ingredients.
Yeah. So we actually need to take another break. So we will come back and talk a little bit more and a couple other pieces that are important for dealing with asthma. In February of this year, a study was published in the Journal of Current Medical Research and Opinion, and they had taken a group of adults with asthma and they gave them medical food that contained omega-3 fatty acids. And after just 4 weeks of having these omega-3s, they found that there was improvement in patient quality of life and a decrease in their reliance on rescue medication. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about those omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you have questions, call us at 651-641-1071.
Hello?
Kim, it's Sarah. I was thinking of you today, and I thought I'd try giving you a call. Are you sick? You sound different.
No, I've been meaning to call you. Remember I told you about the panic attack I had? Well, I've had more since then.
What? That's scary. What happens?
I hyperventilate, get shaky, and even cry. They make me want to hide from everything and everyone. Now I'm having trouble sleeping. I wake up in the middle of the night with cold sweats, and my heart feels as if it's going to burst out of my chest.
Oh, how can I help?
I don't know what to do.
You know, I listen to the show every Saturday on FM 107.1 called Dishing Up Nutrition. The host, her name is Dar, is a licensed nutritionist at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. I've heard her talk about helping people overcome anxiety by changing their diets. Why don't you call and talk to them about these panic attacks? It's worth a try, isn't it?
Anxiety doesn't have to rule your life. For your anti-anxiety plan, learn more at weightandwellness.com or call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian. I'm here with Christina Swigart, licensed nutritionist. Today we're talking about the role nutrition plays in asthma. And here's some more great research. Many viral infections reach clinical significance in the wintertime when it's coldest and when vitamin D production is at its lowest. And research has found that several autoimmune diseases, certain types of cancers, and asthma are linked to viral infections. Now, vitamin D helps the body to combat these viral infections. Studies show that vitamin D is a key factor in reducing all of these diseases.
Right. And I know we've done some shows on vitamin D. So just another example, not going to focus too much on that today, but sometimes that's something that maybe people need to even take extras of. Now in the summer, we do make more, but some people, if they're really deficient, they still need a little bit more. So real quickly, before we get to a couple callers here, is just I want to make sure we touch on the essential fatty acids. And I mentioned it right as we were going to break. And that is a key thing that we include. Now, we've talked about things that we eliminate, foods we want, replenishing the digestive health, but I would never work with anybody who has asthma without having them get a lot of omega-3s in
their
diet.
And a lot of research on that and how it reduces inflammation in so many different areas of the body.
Right. And there are food sources, you know, your grass-fed animal products such as meats and game meats, organic eggs that are grass-fed, your wild-caught fish. But honestly, usually these people need supplements.
You need therapeutic doses if you have asthma.
Yep, and that's pretty much in the research. So you want to get a good quality of omega-3s from fish oil, not flax oil. It's not going to work as well because it's not as therapeutic.
Yep.
And then also, along with the omega-3s, omega-6s in the form of GLA. It's an activated omega-6. I know a lot of times they say omega-6s are bad. Those are a different kind, like from your vegetable oils, animals that aren't free range. But those omega-6s are very beneficial to help keep your lung tissue healthy. Some people need pretty high doses to start with, especially if they're having some severe symptoms going on. And again, safe for kids.
Yep.
You know? So, well, why don't we get to the phone? Oh, looks like we lost one, but we've got Jeannie on the line. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. What was your question for us today?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I have a daughter who's actually not listening to the radio today. She's out and about, but she's 28, and she has been suffering with adult asthma. My son had it when he was little. He outgrew it. My daughter got it in college, and she has inhalers and steroids quite a bit and has been going to a pulmonary, you know, specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And my other daughter, who's a little older, is trying to get her to do more homeopathic kinds of things, maybe somewhat what you're talking about. And you mentioned some sort of a wellness center, and I just wondered how I could get her in touch with maybe somebody such as yourself, a dietitian that could sit down with her and or at a center that could help her rather than going to the doctor and she's medicating all this and she gets pretty sick.
Yeah, I think you are exactly on the right track. We would love to see her in our office. As you've kind of gotten from the show, we've worked with a lot of people with asthma, and nutrition plays such an important role. So if she wanted to call our office at 651-699-3438, I think any of us would be very well-versed in helping her.
What's the name of your clinic again?
Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear very well. And we do have Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Okay.
And we do have three offices. So that's a St. Paul number. That's the only one that's open today. But we also have an office in Wayzata and White Bear Lake, too.
Oh, she lives in Wayzata.
Oh, perfect. So she's no excuse.
By. Right.
Yeah, and just, and you know, I think a lot of times when there's more of those issues going on, all those medications, it really does benefit people to sit down one-on-one to really work through her issues, put together a specific plan for her to really help her feel better.
Yeah, she eats a lot of that you were talking about, the yogurt, the Yoplait light yogurt. She eats a lot of that.
Okay.
Just trying to get, you know, the lightweight one, supposedly.
Right.
It probably has a lot of sugar in it, if that's good or bad.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to have her. I don't know that she can call today, but I will have her look up. So it's Nutritional Weight and Wellness in Wayzata.
Yep. Yes. And actually, if you go on our website, weightandwellness.com, you can get the other phone numbers as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, all right.
I really appreciate it. We'll head her that direction.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Thanks. A great show.
Thanks. All right. Yeah. For a lot of people, it really does help to just come and sit down and, especially, you know, if it's some mild symptoms, the classes are probably a great way. And people do both classes and appointments, but sometimes it helps to maybe get going with an individual when there's some more serious things going
on. Absolutely. And in what we've seen, you probably agree with me, Christina, you know, somebody will take a class and so they'll gain some great information, but then to come in for a one-on-one so you get an individualized plan is really helpful. Is it break time again?
I think it might be. All right. So one more little study thing. You know, we've been talking about a number of different ways you can address and reduce asthma. And for those of you who are going to have babies at some point in the near future or far future, here's another reason to breastfeed your babies. Research has shown that different bioactive milk components in there are known to participate significantly in neonatal health promotion and in protection against a large number of infectious diseases, including the development of asthma and allergies. So we'll be back for the final few minutes. In a minute, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We want to thank you for listening today. Unfortunately, this hour goes way too fast. We're just about done with the hour, but I do want to mention to you, if you want to learn more about today's topic and learn how nutrition can make a difference to reduce inflammation, you could attend our evening class this summer. It's called Foods to Reduce Pain and Inflammation. We're offering it in Eden Prairie, St. Paul, White Bear Lake, and Wayzata. You can visit our website, weightandwellness.com, to learn more, or you can call our office at 651-699-3438 for more information.
All right. And it looks like we do have a couple callers on the line, and I just don't think we're going to be able to get to them today. I apologize. Feel free to give our office a call today. Cassie will actually be back at the office this afternoon. Again, 651-699-3438. I see one question was about giving tea to kids. And I had a feeling somebody might call because I mentioned that earlier. Yeah. And I use tea a lot with my kids. You know, you do have to be careful with caffeine, so maybe stay away from the black tea. Green tea, I think, is fine unless your child is really sensitive. And then a lot of the herbal ones, like the fruity ones, we love Tea Source down the road from our office.
The
and
iced teas.
My kids love like their green mango, or I buy one called Lemon Solstice Decaf, and that's good too. One other thing that we just wanted to make sure we touch on before we're done is the issue of food sensitivities and asthma and allergies. And frankly, we oftentimes address that when people especially have the allergies and asthma together, mm-hmm. or when we see adults who have had asthma and allergies their entire life. We found a couple key things. Cassie, what are some of those key foods we look at?
Well, it's amazing how many people are gluten sensitive. Yep. So that's oftentimes one of the first ones that we'll try to eliminate and, you know, see what happens. And then dairy is another big one.
Right.
And then you kind of...
Sometimes eggs can
one.
Be,
eggs.
Too. That probably wouldn't be the first one, but for some people that is. And a way to look at this is that for a lot of people, the proteins, which gluten is a protein in wheat, rye, barley, oats, and the protein in dairy, are a trigger. Mm-hmm. They can be irritating, especially when you have someone who has that sensitive digestive system, sensitive immune system. Maybe you've got some skin problems, too. It's just something else that's going into your body that's creating more inflammation and setting off this cascade that for people with asthma and allergies, it really can be a problem. And again, oftentimes it's very helpful to sit down with somebody because for some people it means a lot of changes.
Yep, yep. And we want to make it workable for you and we still want you to enjoy food. So
right.
Yeah, sometimes a one-on-one consult does a lot of good. And like we said, if you had questions and you didn't get to us to answer them today, call me at the office. I'll be there till 5. So.
Right. So hopefully you learned something new today and have a great day. And remember that food can either be your problem or it can be your solution. Thanks for listening.
Life, I love you. All is groovy. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba.